So, we are here in Chiang Mai. I asked to sit on the floor with the devotees. They've sat me on the floor, but the devotees are there and I am here. I have done something wrong in my life that I am being kept away from the devotees, more than arm's length, long distance away. They are all seated together and I am seated here. So today is not a special day in the calendar, I believe. I didn't see any special day in the calendar. But every day is a special day when we can remember something about the Lord and about the devotees and about the necessity of devotional life. We hear when Srila Gurudev, as a youth, was accompanying Srila Bhakti. Who was there? Aprakrita Saranga, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. Bhakti Aprakrita Saranga Goswami Maharaj. They were going to some gathering where a disciple, he was with a disciple of Srila Goswami Maharaj, and they are going to a gathering where he's going to give a talk. And Gurudev, as a youth, he asked to this disciple of Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, "Do you know what your Gurudev is going to talk about today? What will he say in the class today?" And this disciple looked at him and said, "How can I know?" And Gurudev said, "I know what he will talk about." Then he said, "What do you mean you know?" He said, "Yes, I know what he will talk about." And then, "What will he talk about?" And then Gurudev quoted the verse which said about how normally people judge a day as whether it is rainy or whether it is a good day. It is sunshine, beautiful sky, everything, and a bad day is it's rainy, windy, all these things. But really, the Vaishnavas, they judge a good day as to whether or not they get the association of senior devotees, whether they get the association of devotees, whether they get to hear Hare Katha, things like this. And the disciples say, "How do you know?" And Gurudev is saying, "Yes, I know." And then they sat there together, and then when Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj started the talk, he started with that exact shloka. And Gurudev said that. Brahmachari looked at me like astounded. Then afterwards, he asked to him, he said, "How did you know that my Gurudev was going to speak? He's my Gurudev, but you know he was going to speak on this subject matter." And Gurudev said, "Because I understand he will mention about this, because today is a very rainy, windy, like bad day in normal calculation. So my understanding is he will talk about what is a good day and what is a bad day." So a good day for us all is when we can be together. We can be with the devotees, we can hear some Hare Katha, we can sing some of the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can chant the Maha Mantra, we can honor Prasad. This facility we've got here very happily. So today is a very good day in Chiang Mai. From dawn till dusk? No, from before dawn. From Mangal Aarti to evening Aarti and beyond. Then we have association of devotees, facility to engage in seva, honor prasadam, a very good prasadam. So here we are today. How can I serve you? Any questions? Everyone is very silent, but it's not that there's nobody here. Yes?
Yes, Maharaj, we have a question. Srimati Bhakti Lalita compared service to Gurudev to being near fire, which purifies you and lets your golden self manifest. What would be your comparison? And did you ever have service that pushed you to the limits of your abilities?
I think everything I did was beyond the limit of my abilities. Anything that we did as an instrument to Gurudev was beyond the limit of our abilities. But being close to the fire, okay, Bhakti Lalita has said that. You may ask her about the fire and being close to the fire. Because Gurudev actually was very soothing. He was very soothing, and rarely we can feel that we are being like the opposite, being scolded, rather, scalded by the heat. Rather, we are, my experience is, we are feeling sheltered, soothed, cooling rays of Gurudev's beautiful lotus feet, cooling rays of Gurudev's presence. But I was not one who engaged in service of cooking and the personal needs of Gurudev. And as a witness or as a viewer of the interaction between Gurudev and those who were making the preparations for him and trying to satisfy Gurudev with the right amount of salt, the right amount of this, doing the chaunts, is it first or last? I don't remember, but Gurudev, by tasting something, he knows how it was made. And then I have been witness to the interaction of Gurudev with the servitors who are giving him personal service. So I was not fortunate in that, of being a close servitor of providing the prasadam that Gurudev would take. But I can say that those who were very close to him in that sense, I think they got a little close to the fire sometimes. And their example of tolerance and humility and surrender and service to Gurudev was also, I mean, very wonderful to see that when they can take chastisement from Gurudev today, tomorrow, the next day, or yesterday, the day before, and the day before that, in different ways, and we see they're trying very hard. Then when they can take that chastisement of how you've not done this right, I told you how to do, but you have not done it, then that is difficult to digest, no doubt. But the devotees, they are happily digesting and trying harder and harder and harder. So I think those who cooked for Gurudev maybe will have a little more experience of that. But Gurudev was always very shelterful. No English word, sorry. But anyway, he was always very sheltering in his dealings with us. Protecting, sheltering, soothing, cooling. And for sure, he wanted everything done and done properly. I think we mentioned here before, Gurudev did not like the word sorry. I do not like to hear this word sorry. We want something to be done, not, oh, I'm sorry, Gurudev, it cannot be done. So we also try to learn by hearing, not by hearing and seeing, and we try to avoid learning by experiencing, in the sense of, we know Gurudev doesn't like the word sorry, so we are not going to say sorry to Gurudev. We're going to make sure that whatever duty is with us, that it gets done, that it gets done. And some of these duties, yes, they're practically impossible. And one impossible one, I think some of you have heard. One example for me where it was obviously clear that Krishna's hand, Gurudev's hand, Guru Maharaj's hand, somebody's hand is there behind everything. That time of getting the visa for him, for Malaysia, just after in India, the Hindus had demolished the mosque of the Muslims at Ayodhya, the place of Ramachandra's appearance day. And Malaysia's a Muslim country. And they stopped giving visas in India. They stopped giving visas, maybe everywhere, for Hindus. If you're Hindu, then at that time, like, as they're not giving any visa for the Hindus. And absolutely in India, we tried so much to get his visa for Malaysia. And then only then last possibility, Gurudev, then we explain all to Gurudev, but Gurudev said, but they have invited me, so I must go. Okay, so they've invited him and he wants to go and he must go. So the only possibility for the route, because we've already got the tickets to go to Singapore, then Singapore, I think to Australia that time probably. But he was going on from, he was coming to Singapore, then going on from Singapore on one of the world tours. And then, so the only possibility was, well, Gurudev, in India, we understand it is impossible. We've tried everything we can. Maharaj, we can't get. However, you're going to Singapore, then there is an Indian embassy in Singapore. We can try there. And so I went with Gurudev to Singapore on his the beginning of his tour. And anyway, just impossibly. There also, they are not giving the visa. But we got finally his visa. After the Malaysian embassy had closed, we got his visa by hook or by crook. And by hook or by crook, we got his visa. And amazingly, it was after the offices had closed, we got his visa. And then we're kind of course, a little happy we've got his visa. And so we telephoned to Gurudev and then said, Gurudev, okay, so we've got the visa, so be ready. We've got these flights that going like in 2 hours' time or something, quite near. And so we have these flights. So just be ready. We'll come to the flat, Vijay Krishnaprabhu's flat, where he was staying. And then we'll meet you there. We'll get the taxis, come, and we'll go to the airport. And what happened was that it was the it was the Chinese New Year Eve, the eve of the Chinese New Year. And all the Chinese, or most of the taxi drivers in Singapore are Chinese. So there were almost no taxis. And so Vijay Krishnaprabhu and myself, we went from the embassy and we went to the taxi stand, and there's a whole queue of people. But the plane was going in 2 hours' time or something. We had to get to Gurudev and go. And we are completely, we've got the visa, but now we can't get back. We're absolutely stuck. And then we understand if we stay in this queue, it's going to take forever to get a taxi. And we're coming back from the queue, really, we're thinking, so what are we going to do? And a taxi drove right up to us and said, you know, do you need a taxi? The taxi drove to us in the middle of the, you know, between taxi places. And it was completely exceptional. First was that. Then we called Gurudev. Okay, Gurudev, we're a little late, but please, we'll meet you downstairs. So we met him downstairs with the taxi, and Gurudev came down. Then when we got to the plane, then, so that was kind of the second thing, which was amazing on that thing. But then the third thing was that it's a Chinese New Year. So when we had booked Gurudev's tickets, we weren't able to get business class tickets, which always send Gurudev in a reasonable way by business class. And so we were not able to get any tickets. It's Chinese New Year, everything's completely booked up. But when we got to the plane, then we got on the plane, and remember, I was not due to go. I wasn't booked on the tour. So my ticket and Vijay Krishnaprabhu's ticket, we got at the last minute by some contact of his who is in a travel agent, and we got these like last minute booking tickets to accompany Gurudev to Malaysia because he wanted us to go. And so anyway, when we got on the plane, then we all have our boarding passes, but our boarding passes, they're economy boarding passes, but our seats, because it was this last minute thing, were business class seats on the plane. So then this is like the icing on the cake. We just got his visa. We just miraculously got a taxi to come to Gurudev. And then the third thing was, there we have two business class seats. So I went to Gurudev in the back of the plane, in the middle part, and then said, I just said to Gurudev, Gurudev, you're in the wrong seats. I said, no, here's my boarding pass. No, Gurudev, wrong seats. Your seats are here. And then we gave him our boarding passes, and he and Sagar Maharaj went down to the business class, and Gurudev sat nicely. So, I mean, that is, to me, that was such an obvious thing. Three things, just one after the other, just to say, look, you are an instrument. You can try whatever you want, whatever else, but ultimately, everything is coming from above. So, I mean, many things in our life have been beyond our capacity, and that one was just beyond anything that could possibly happen. But it's almost like the Lord was having a smile at us and said, oh, look what they're doing. Okay, now 2 business class tickets. You think it's so difficult to get business class tickets? And there's Gurudev sitting in the business class very happily. And actually the only times that I went with Gurudev on the tours, or on any part of the tours, was for some seva like this, to do something. And this year, Bhakti Lalita Devirasi is going to Australia for the 20th anniversary of the installation of Gauranga Sunda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Australia at the Sri Govinda Dham in Yukai. And in fact, they are having an all invitation to everybody to come to the Sri Govinda Dham in Australia this year. They're inviting everybody, please come, please come, please come. It's their 20th anniversary festival. There, they are having a summer festival for Christmas and New Year. Now, not many places have a summer festival in Christmas and New Year, but in Australia, it's the middle of their summer, it's summertime. So they have an open invitation and they're asking, please let everybody know that all devotees are welcome for that program. And Bhakti Lalita Devirasi will be flying from here, from Chiang Mai to Australia for that. Also, Sripad Bhakti Kamal Tyagi Maharaj will be there, and people will be coming from all over Australia. But that occasion also, that the not the anniversary, but the installation day, so 20 years ago this year, is also when I was with Gurudev on part of one of his tours. And he sent myself and Purnananda Prabhu a week or so before him, just to help get everything ready for that installation program. So myself and Purnananda Prabhu, we went, by Gurudev's wish, we went maybe one week before him, just to help whatever little way we could to make arrangement for Gurudev to come. So only I ever went with Gurudev for some specific seva. Otherwise, the devotees from the early days of Mohanananda Prabhu and Sripad Bhakti Ananda Sagar Maharaj and Paramahamsa Maharaj, from then through 24 world tours, Gurudev had some personal assistance with him. And some of them, no doubt, felt the fire from time to time. But Gurudev left me behind in Navadvip. So we were in Navadvip helping to keep things going in Navadvip in general while Gurudev was on tour. But my experience with Gurudev is so cooling and opposite of heat. So cooling, so sweet, so generous in all sorts of aspects, but generous. He knows that we're foolish. Really, he knows that we're foolish. And still he accommodates us. Maybe us doesn't include everybody. Okay, he knows I am foolish and he accommodated me. But still, one look from Gurudev, it doesn't even have to be a word. We understand. We want to be on the right side, not the wrong side. And some small thing, even you don't intend to do, but some small thing, then Gurudev can make very clear, oh, this is wrong. You know. Yes, Gurudev, I know. I mean, small thing, different things. We were with Munindra Mohan and Krishnakanta Devirasi at their summer festival in Italy this year. And Munindra Mohan Prabhu, we were talking about Gurudev, and we're all sharing with each other stories about Gurudev and things. And he had some interesting experience with Gurudev, because he said that, actually, we made this ashram and we did so many things, but Gurudev, I understand, he said, he deliberately gave credit to Krishna Kanta. His wife, Krishnakanta, did he? He said, I did that, but Gurudev deliberately giving credit to her and not to him. He said, And Gurudev doing this right in front of me, and so obviously that I understood he's doing this in order that I don't get a big ego. He's giving credit to her this way. Many things like this, we can think, oh Gurudev, why is he doing like that? So sometimes somebody else may be doing something and you're getting the credit. Who? Oh, somebody told me that other way around too. Oh, well, maybe Krishna Kanta said the other way around, but somebody told me another way around too. That, oh, I didn't do anything, but Gurudev was always giving me the credit for it. He said, I knew it was for my encouragement. No doubt Krishna Kanta was feeling like that. But Manindra Mohan was feeling, yes, but, you know, I did all those things. Yes, yes, Krishna Kanta, she did everything. She's made such nice thing. Then Gurudev, Manindra saying, it's for my ego, so my ego doesn't fly off in the sky. And also, Munindra Mohan also said though, but I could see by Gurudev's glisten in his eye when he looks at me, he knows everything. He's doing it on purpose, everything he's doing. He understands, and by the glint in his eye, he knows. I said, I'm fully satisfied. This way. And Gurudev, the most expert, because it comes from his heart, not from political or artificial or anything, but he's so expert at drawing out the good in other people and seeing the good, the qualities of other people, of the devotees, the potential of the devotees, what they have, what spiritual faith they've got, the devotional qualities. He's a source of encouragement. Source of encouragement.
We have a question from Sundar Gopal Prabhu from Italy. How to deal with depression and anxiety?
Depression and anxiety. Become more and more Krishna conscious. Heaven and hell are within the mind to some degree. We have to try to make our mind godly, means filled with the thoughts of the Lord. Our sadhana is meant for this purpose, to try to convert ourselves from thinking about the mundane things to only thinking about the Lord, his devotees, service, the holy name, these things. So depression, what can we say? Every case is different, everybody's mentality is different, and some hearts are very hurt in this material world, heart injuries, if you like. I know I met one good person, and he literally was heartbroken, a very heartbroken person. And he said, my mother passed away, my father passed away, my family passed away, but my wife, when she passed away, it was like he was completely devastated. And for a long time he was devastated. But really the only thing, as devotees, the only thing we can take recourse to is shelter of the Lord and his devotees, and know that everything about this world is completely temporary. Whether it is bereavement or whether it is great joy, happiness. Now one of our friends has gone for a wedding in South India. So that, especially in India, a lot of pomp and pageantry and funny hats and all sorts of things for the wedding in India. And there, going for a wedding, so that one side is like, oh, this is something very joyful. But then on the other side, then we have so many unhappy situations in the world. But both are two sides of the same coin. We want to try to make ourselves somewhat aloof from the joys and the so-called joys and so-called sufferings of this world. We are not of this world. And if anything will come, like that person I know whose wife passed away and he's so devastated for so long, not everybody must be sad for some days, but he was very affected. Then we can say that anything particularly sort of injurious to us in that sense, emotional sense, mental sense in this world, we as devotees must try to take that as a push towards making ourselves more and more centered on devotional service, Guru, the Lord, the name, etc. Taking shelter of the name, taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, praying for some responsible service to take my mind off that particular cause of my depression or anxiety, devastation. Taking my mind off that, but actually our responsible service will take us aloof from all of the different mundane things in this world. And we start to see the world in a different way too. So we know, we also know devotees who have got a hereditary mental illness. And we've met, I mean, hundreds of devotees coming through Navadvipa at different times. And really, from one particular devotee, it was an eye-opener to me to see that there is a whole science or something of mental illness, that it is a real thing which has been analyzed, scrutinized, researched, and so many things. Because this devotee, he said, this is my situation. And he from the web, he showed this, that, and the other. And then we understand that people have mental difficulties in the world. If somebody has a broken leg, you can see he's got a broken leg. He's in pain and everything else. But there is some equivalent of a broken leg in the mental system. But whether it is a physical broken leg or like a mental broken leg means something, some much pain and anxiety within the mental system, both are within the mundane, the material sphere. So we want to come above that. We want to understand, okay, my broken leg, it is for my purification, something I had to go through. Please let it pass, but now more and more my focus is going to be upwards, like the Chataka bird, that example we hear. And we look upwards for our nourishment and not downwards in this plane or around us in this plane of the material world. But we can definitely sympathize with all pain. And there is a shloka which we read when we read the Bhagavatam and the purports. It says, a shloka that says, one person cannot feel the pain of another. One person cannot really understand what another person is feeling, both, you know, pain physically, but pain in the heart, etc. We can have compassion and sympathy or empathy, as it may be, but the medicine for the whole of our existence is our necessity to take the Lord as the center of our life. The best prescription given anywhere, for everyone, everywhere, for the highest result is Bhagavad Bhakti Taha Sarvam Ijut Sridya Vidherapi Kainkaryam Krishna Padayaka Ashrayat Vang Sharanagatihi. There you are. Gurudev has told us the prescription, that go to the doctor, the doctor will give a prescription. The best prescription for everyone, everywhere. Have complete faith that by serving the Lord, everything is done. That's who you are, your identity, your real identity, is you are a servitor of the Lord. And how do we serve the Lord? We serve Him through the devotees. And this fortune has come to us. And the world is engaged in all sorts of things, and in the spiritual side too. And people who are searching have some thought that they're trying to understand the universe and understand what is life and reading the books. Very few come to get the connection of service, get the connection of the Vaishnavas, get the connection of the progressive clean spiritual line presented by Srila Saraswati Thakur to this world. And when we are living in Navadvip for so many years, engaged in trying to render service, especially to the Western devotees coming, making their pilgrimage successful, meeting with Gurudev and making their life as comfortable as possible there. We are essentially meeting mainly with devotees. We're meeting with people who are connected, like here in the assembly here. Everybody's already connected. But coming out from India, after coming out from India, we've gone to so many public programs. We're going to meet people who know nothing or maybe have a little interest, otherwise why will they come to one of our programs? But they maybe have a little interest, but they, out of all the people who come, so many, you can say the majority, have got so many preconceived ideas and so many barriers, some barriers between understanding what is devotional life, that the Lord is a person, that there are people on this earth who are practicing sincerely to serve Him under the guidance of the parampara, the agents of the Lord. And so many filters from the first coming to have some interest, to, oh, there must be God, who is He, to coming to have the association of devotees and being able to engage in some service under their direction. And out of the devotees who have come, also many incidences have happened throughout our life that we have seen. So we want to always be careful to appreciate the value of the devotees, the value of the opportunity that we've got, and really make this life successful. Not to dilute that with any other, especially spiritual conceptions, and think that we can get something somewhere else. To read many books is not helpful, especially if they're not the books of Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, and Srila Prabhupada. If we will read any other book, we should be cautious and first ask to someone like Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Surya Goswami Maharaj, is this all right for me to read? Somebody you should ask who knows about the books and who made the translation, what tinge have they got, etc. We want to be very careful and very exclusive. And Gurudev is very clear that everything is in Guru Maharaj's books. What Guru Maharaj gave, he said, there are so many books now of Guru Maharaj and of myself, he's saying, very humbly, to give ample guidance for the devotees. And we know ourselves how difficult it is to put into practice half a page of Guru Maharaj's books. How difficult it is to put in our head what to speak of our heart. By Gurudev's grace, I put in my head Bhagavad Bhakti Taha Sarvam Ichutsri Javidherapi, that shloka. But Gurudev says not only to learn, but if you can learn just this one verse and put it in your heart, then you will get everything ever given in any scripture about Sharanagati, surrender. So we may get it in our head, but for me, there's at least 1 foot between my head and my heart, and getting it in my heart, that is another thing. But we are practicing, we are thinking. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, speaking about Sharanagati, when we say Sharanagati, we mean self-surrender to the Lord, to Krishna. But can we say that there is also Sharanagati in relation to Guru?
Oh, yes, certainly. How do we come to surrender to Krishna? Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita. How to surrender? You come to the Self-Realized Soul. He can impart knowledge to you because He has seen that. And how to come in the mood of Sharanagati to the Vaishnavas, especially to the Guru? Then we will come with humility, with sincere inquiry, and with seva. So this presupposes Sharanagati. We're not going in a challenging way, we're going in a submissive, surrendered way. And Gurudev in the early days, many of us, we came from another society where we are used to receiving instruction, and everybody is like getting instruction. You do this, you do this, and then we are taught you don't argue, you just do, do, do. Okay, we are doing, doing, doing. But one, you say senior devotee, he suggested to Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said, actually, the devotees, they need to be given instruction. Tell them to do something this way. This Western devotees, he's saying about the Western devotees. And Gurudev said, he said something, I mean, really interesting, but from his view, he said, I know what is guru. If I give instruction and they don't follow my instruction, they don't do it, it will be harmful for them. I will first see what they can do and what they're willing to do, and this way will give some direction to the disciples. But when we came to Navadvip, to Guru Maharaj, to Gurudev, then it is something noticeable that it wasn't like a hierarchy of do this. It was very much an affectionate interaction always. And as we surrender, the Vaishnavas respond accordingly, Guru responds accordingly. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, Krishna, I respond, reciprocate accordingly. But we saw that with Guru Maharaj and with Gurudev. And it's not that they did not give instruction, but first they are seeing the devotees, then giving some instruction. And Gurudev said, if I give instruction, they don't do it. I know how harmful that is for them. So that is also one compassionate idea, that the guru will see the capacity and then accordingly respond. So yes, full self-surrender means as Gurudev, the example of Gurudev to Guru Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. What is full self-surrender? You take sannyas, then you take the chair. I am withdrawing, and Gurudev, full self-surrender. He told to Guru Maharaj when that sannyas day, I am your sold goat. Like in the market, in India, the market is right in front of you, and people buy and sell animals and stuff. So I am your sold goat. Now I belong to you. You can cut my tail or you can cut my head. The wish is yours. This is Gurudev's answer to Guru Maharaj. And then the next day, he was given sannyas by Guru Maharaj. Next day. But yes, surrender is the basis. And please, anything about surrender, you pick up Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam and make this book a study, a regular study in your life. We want to try to have, you can call it sadhana, you can call it whatever you like, but we want to have some regular ingestion of good things for us. And Prapanna Jivanamritam, Guru Maharaj explained why he made it. He said, so I can reflect on why I came to the mission. I can reflect on Sharanagati, coming to surrender to Srila Saraswati Thakur and his mission. I am reflecting on that, putting this into word form, so that others can also share this and gain some light from this in the future. And that's us. Veda Vyas compiled the Vedas and specifically gave Srimad Bhagavatam for the future generations. And we are the future generations. If we don't take note of Srimad Bhagavatam, if we don't take note of Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam, if we don't take note of these things, then it is a dishonor to these greatest caliber of souls who've come to this plane for our benefit in this time. So we must try to make some time in the morning, in the evening, at least give ourselves a little time in our routine each day to read in a methodical way these books, these scriptures. But much reading is not our necessity. We'll take what we can digest. And as we have experience, we can only digest a certain amount each day. But we need to try to make that go forwards, and then you will find forwards and forwards and forwards. And somewhere I was telling devotees about how I feel like I have only one book in the world, which I feel is my book, as it were, and it's Prapanna Jivanamritam. That is the book, Sri Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam, from the very early time, just after it was offered to Guru Maharaj. And in India, we just came from India. In India, I have a few things in India which are mine, but actually almost nothing in real instance. It includes some letters from Guru Maharaj. Letters from him, I can say, mine. And there's this one book, Prapanna Jivanamritam. And still, in the back cover of that book, I looked to see, is it still there? Still in the back cover of that book, there is a 10 rupee note. Because I'd always have that book with me, and 10 rupees. 10 rupees, because then you can make a phone call, or you can catch a bus, you know, wherever you are, you've always got some shelter with the book and 10 rupees. And still in that book there is 10 rupees. And it's still there, I left it there too. So Prapanna Jivanamritam is very, very special book for us. It is almost like our scripture, as it were. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you also mentioned that we should reject the joys and the sorrows of this life, of the material world. But by doing so, don't we deprive ourselves of the colors of life if we reject
But the colors life? Here are very dull, sorry to say. Very dull, lifeless in the sense of real life. Sometimes we can get a hint of it. But the example is given of the reflection. And these examples, these are given by the Lord Himself too. And a reflection, we know a reflection. We know that you have the mirror, and you can put the mirror here, and you can see you all here in the mirror. And it looks like the real thing, but it is almost like it's one-dimensional, and it is not the same as having the humans here. It's not the same as, sound, touch, smell, everything else. The mirror is giving you a one-dimensional, two-dimensional idea of what is outside there. But only when you look outside, then you see all the movement and you see the life, etc. So this world looks like it is very vibrant, etc., to us. But the promise is given by all of the sages that it is a fragment of broken glass. A fragment of broken glass compared with the living joys and gems of the higher world. So it is a matter of following the advices of the great Mahajans, the great souls. And their advice is we are to be aloof from the pleasures and pains of this world. And the pleasure leads to pain. It is a wave. As long as we are bound in this world, we are caught up in the waves of pleasure and pain. All of you were in the womb, all of us were in the womb for 9 months. There is some description of how unhappy that is. All of us died a few years ago. There is some description of how unhappy that is. In the middle, we're like the puppy. I went to a friend's house in Calcutta, in India, also just now. They got one crazy dog. The dog just, he's maybe 3 years old, but really, he's has a brain of a puppy and big dog, but no logical sense in him at all. A bundle of joy running everywhere with his toy in his mouth, the master's come back and everything like this. Okay, I mean there's some kind of a life there, but it is all lifeless in t- terms, if we measure by the terms of the life in Krishna's world, the wakeful, waking up, we are waking up to that higher world. So everything in this plane, the most wonderful thing in this plane, because there is so much wonder in this plane, but that most wonderful thing, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is just a one spark of his creation. It's made up of one spark, tiny part. And his land is vibrant and living, that everything is conscious. Here in this world, we are only partly conscious. Dull, we are dull. But that world is not dull, it is awake. But I have to say, and I don't know who asked the question, but I have to say, I mean, when I was first reading Srila Prabhupada's books in 1980, and we were leading, we are young and we're leading, you know, happy enough life as we think, I also kept on thinking, Srila Prabhupada saying, this world is not a world of enjoyment, it's a world of suffering. And I keep on thinking, well, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about this. But then, after starting to read these books, and Krishna also beat me up a few times, I thought, okay, Krishna's showing us the other side of the world, the other side of life, because we are still young, and we are, obviously, we're seeing that, oh, we are going to live forever, and, you know, this idea, when you're young, it's very long time, it's so long ahead that you have to start to think about, oh, what's going to happen when I pass away. But I must say, many things I kind of related to from what Srila Prabhupada said, but the part about enjoying and this world is a place of suffering, it took a little while to sink in, and maybe it still hasn't sunk all the way in, but the reality is that and another thing Srila Prabhupada would say in there is that in this material world, pleasure is in essence the absence of suffering. And then also I used to have a little, not a problem, but there were several things which I would just put in a box. Here you've got lots of boxes. I just put them in a box and say, well, I can't exactly say I agree with that, but they're saying it, then I put it in that box, and then later we'll understand. But after reading the books and after trying to practice a little bit and not having any association, because there wasn't any association around, then one lesson after another, Krishna or somebody arranged so that we understand, oh yes, pleasure is a relief of suffering, and that the overall experience of this material world is suffering, not joy. Yes. Something arrived? A letter arrived. The postman came.
Yes, we have a question from Dhananjaya Prabhu.
Yes, Dhananjaya Prabhu.
We know that you have recorded so many audio books. Is Prapanajamanamritam among them?
Yes.
If so, where can we listen to it?
Yes. On the internet. scsmat.com/... Oh, nothing. Just scsmat.com. Then look on the left side, the column on the left, it says books, e-books. Click on that. Then it will say PDF books, spoken books, and EPUB books, maybe. So go to the spoken books. But while I'm saying that, it is possible that there is a newer, better version of the spoken Prapanajivanamritam, because one Indian body devotee from California, Sridhar Prabhu, he read Prapanajivanamritam after I had read it, and because I read it on very poor equipment, I mean really poor equipment, I read it years ago on a cassette player that cost $10. We just put to your mouth. I mean, so you can understand it's a very poor recording. But recording is recording. But Sridhar Prabhu he offered, he said, oh, can I record? He said, yes. And he's got good recording equipment. So he recorded it. So anyway, I think his recording is there, and maybe my recording from long ago, in the 1980s, maybe is there. And some our recordings of the book started in the 1980s, when in the time of Guru Maharaj it started. So please excuse if the recording quality is not very good. And we had no way to edit, except if you make a mistake when you're reading, you stop the cassette player, you just rewind a little bit and then reread it. And that's it. So what you have, the tape, you got the tape at the end, that's it, it's recorded. No question of going into the computer and editing. There was not such a thing as a computer, unless you had a big house with a big room with something inside it, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars probably. I mean, that was that age. It's only a few years ago that that was that age. So anyway, the recordings, they do go back to the 1980s, so they're old recordings. scsmat.com, left-hand column, e-books, books and e-books, click on there, then you'll see PDF books, which are PDF, is a reading format, and spoken books. In there you will find Sri Sri Prabhupada Jivanamrita.
And can you tell us, why did you decide to make audiobooks at that time?
I was asked to. It started off, and actually, it hasn't been like a full-time thing, it's just been something we read every day anyway, correct? So, just while we're reading, we read aloud with a recorder. But how it started, which is the question, actually started from the then Western Secretary of Srila Guru Maharaj. And he was always giving attention, really full-time saver, he was giving personal attention, massaging Guru Maharaj, taking care of Guru Maharaj, taking care of the Western devotees, doing many things. And he said, I have no time to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you are here, you are staying in the mat. Can you read Chaitanya Charitamrita onto the cassette? And then I can hear, while massaging Guru Maharaj, I can hear Chaitanya Charitamrita. So actually the recorded books began from the time of Guru Maharaj, and began because I was asked to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and then didn't finish it before Guru Maharaj passed away. So then time went on, and then after some time, then I'm thinking, okay, half the book is read or something like that, because Chaitanya Charitamrita is 18 volumes. It's quite a, you know, it's quite a lot to read. And maybe half the book was read, and then later on I thought, oh, I should just, we're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita every day, so I should just record it while I'm reading now, just start from where I finished that time and then keep on recording. And then the devotees appreciated it. Who gave encouragement? Different devotees, but Janardhan Maharaj, Srila Bhakti, now Srila Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj, he also gave much encouragement. He heard some recording and he said, oh, please, I need this. And then step by step throughout the years, devotees are asking, and one devotee who keeps asking for books is Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadhut Maharaj. And why? Because he said, I am a good listener, but in English language, because Russian is his language, then in English it is not easy for me to read, but I can hear. So some of the more recent books that I have read have been for, specifically because he's asked, and then we've made those books available to everybody too. And the most, oh, and right, and then not only myself now, but also Tridandi Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Tridandi Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga, Swarup. Bhakti Sarup Tridandi Maharaj. Yeah, he also, he asked what seva can he do. He has good English, good reading, and he read recently one book. He read Gaudiya Kantaha, he read, which was a book that Avadhut Maharaj asked please read this book. He read that book, and that book, why Avadhut Maharaj asked for that book, it is a book that Guru Maharaj gave to Gurudev early in Gurudev's life in the mat. When Guru Maharaj sees how capable Gurudev is as a preacher, he gave him that book and said, you will get all the answers to the challenges of the public. All answers you will find in this book, Gaudiya Kantaha. And maybe Avadhut Maharaj heard audio recording of Gurudev talking about the Gaudiya Kantaha. Then he said, oh, I want that book, but please in spoken form. So right from Guru Maharaj's time, right to our present time, we are reading books in service because we're being asked to read the books. And when we read the books, we also, one thing about reading the books is you have to understand what you're reading. Otherwise, it's just a monotonous, you're not a machine, you're not an automated machine. You have to try to understand, you have to understand what you're reading as much as possible when you read it. And in fact, one of the books was not done by anybody asking, it was done by me because I had so much difficulty to understand it. I thought, yes, but when I read aloud and recording, then I'm like awake to what am I reading. And so maybe I'll have a better chance of understanding this book. And that book, can you guess what the book that was? Maybe not, but English-speaking people may guess it. It's the Brahma Sanhita. Because the Brahma Sanhita, really, it's very complicated. And the English is complicated in the English version, which is there. And so that book I read because I thought, well, there's some chance that if I read it aloud and record it, that maybe I'll understand it a bit better. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't know, but that's how the Brahma Sanhita came about, so some different ones. And one of my favorite books, which I heard recently, very recently, because we were in India, we went for the Parikrama, first place we went to, from the airport, we went directly to Govardhan. And then we did Parikrama of Govardhan Hill. And while doing Parikrama of Govardhan Hill, I had one little white earpiece in my ear, and while we are going around, I'm listening to the color guide to Govardhan Hill. But it's a very happy, it's informative, very informative. But why I like to hear that, and I like to hear that in other places too, is because I recorded that while going around Govardhan Hill a long time ago. Whether it could have been 1987. It could have been 1987. Or maybe it was beginning. Anyway, I'm not exactly sure when. But it could have been 1987. But after that, the next time was probably 1991. So it could have been 87 or 91 that I was at Govardhan. And I recorded it while going around the hill. So literally, you know, I'd walk somewhere and I'd be at the place it's talking about and I'd sit and I'd read. So you can hear the children all laughing and teasing me in the background. You can hear the buffaloes bathing in the water. The noises that the buffaloes make. And for me, it's a happy recording because it's just there at Govardhan Hill. The birds, the parrots, the different sounds are all there. And so it's a super poor recording. It's not this modern age where you can record on a phone and everything. It's those old cassette tapes on the cheapest recorders, but so what? So by now there are lots of books. I mean, really there are lots of books available.
Is this book available?
Yes, but not on our MAT website because it's not our book. It's done for family and friends. So So you'll have to put in a family or friend request. Yes?
We also have a question about parikrama.
About parikrama, okay.
Yes, you just finished parikrama in India. And
we did.
So why do we need to go to sacred places on parikrama when we have this chance to be in association of preachers and teachers and Vaishnavas? So what does it do, parikrama? What does it do? What effect does it have on us?
Well, at least it can be very helpful for us to remind ourselves of so many pastimes of the Lord and in many instances of the devotees, of Gurudev, of Guru Maharaj, of the Goswamis, of different devotees in different places. So it's an opportunity, at least it is an opportunity to give ourselves a reminder of so many pastimes of the Lord and his devotees in places which are equivalent of where they were. Equivalent because we know that their plane of life is purely spiritual. But still, you see that to do parikrama of Vrindavan and do parikrama of Govardhan, etc., there is something sweet and special because we understand that geography is geography physically, but that beneath the surface, Gurudev has given us this clue, that beneath the surface so many things are happening there in the real plane, the real world. And so always we tell everybody, and one of the first things when we go there, what we are doing on parikrama, we have to walk on our heads. This is Guru Maharaj's expression about being in the holy places, that we don't want to put our feet on the ground, actually, because in India the foot is regarded as very insulting. But because we are made upwards, with the head up and the feet down, then we have to put our feet on the ground. But you see, Govardhan is a good example. There we see in Govardhan, many or several people are doing this dandabat parikrama, where they have, well, the minimum is they have one stone, and they do full obeisances, then they put the stone where their hand is, then they get up, then they start to do the next obeisances, their full obeisances from where they put their feet, from where the stone was. So they put their feet there, pick up the stone, do full obeisances, and this way go all around the hill. Now when you see it, you kind of wonder, what are they thinking? But actually, we must always think what we are thinking. And what I try to consider is that I don't know what they're thinking, and it's not up to me to understand, is he doing it for prestige or doing, because sometimes you think the little prestige is there, you know, that they're doing something for some other purpose. But it's not for us to think what they're thinking. They are visitors to the Dharma, they have their own reason. But what am I thinking? Coming back to this point of Gurudev, that we're not to see the fault in others, but to see the fault in ourselves and correct that. But also, we shouldn't be analyzing others too much, like, is he really doing it with full heart or not? But we should analyze ourselves, that if we are to do that, then we shall try to do with full heart, my full obeisances, to everything within that parikrama. It's not just the one thing. Here you have Tulasi Devi, we're doing parikrama, and obviously here is Tulasi Devi, we're doing parikrama of Tulasi. She's alone in the middle and we're doing parikrama of her. But Govardhan Hill, first of all, there are unlimited Tulasis, but secondly, there are unlimited places of the Lord's pastimes, of the devotees' pastimes, unlimited Govardhan Shilas. I mean, it's Govardhan Hill. There's unlimited everything within that circle that you are doing parikrama around. So we are doing our parikrama with that mood of surrender and honor to everything that is within that circle. But at the same time, we are stopping at different places, starting at Manasi Ganga, the Haridev temple, Dhanagati, then the Anukukshetra, Aniora, the Gopal, the temple where Gopal deity was, and then etc. Govindakund, and step by step. We are going to all these places and we are discussing something about these places, and at the same time, when we are walking, we want to, with every step, have that mood of honor for all the wonderful things, knowingly and unknowingly within where we are doing parakrama. So, to do parakrama, I can only say it feels like it has some value, but also remember, in the time of Gurudev and Guru Maharaj, we are only doing parakrama when we are being told to do. For ourselves, in the temple, we never went to do something independently like that. So, again, parakrama, when it is coming by direction from above, it is savor, it is service. And you see Srila Avadhut Maharaj, Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Janardana Maharaj, the different devotees, they are organizing parakramas, and they are, from up to down, they are giving direction, that I'll be happy if you do parakrama. We're making an organized parakrama, participate in this way. Then this is the mood of service. And we were with Gurudev, and so with Gurudev, I didn't do many parakramas. Later, then when others are not leading the parakrama and our time is free, then we are assisting the devotees leading parakrama. But we saw, we are also helping to arrange the parakramas of Govardhan, Vrindavan, Nabadeep and Puri. But I was arranging rather than going on them. Well, going on them means taking the breakfast to one place and then some part, and then with Gurudev, say, oh Gurudev, then today, because we are going there, then I was thinking I could go around and say, yes, this is a good idea, you do this, that parakrama. And that is, so often it was the last day we get to do the parakrama. The last day in Nabadeep ends up at Vrindavan Das Thakur's appearance place, Guru Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then the lunch, late lunch, a long day. And I think I've done, in all my years in India, I think I've done the full Nabadeep Dham Parakrama 3 times, like every day, each day. And one time would be the first year that I was in, for Gaurapanima, means for the full parakrama, so it's 1988. And then once, maybe, oh no, 1982 was my first, so 1983 I did, not 88 I would not, 83. Anyway, I think I did the first time I was there for Gaurapanima, and then twice other times I did the whole parakrama. And with Gurudev's blessing. But yes, please note that everywhere around the world where we've got communities of devotees, it is a holy place. Please don't think only spiritual life is in India. It's actually, and the devotees who go, it can be difficult to digest the Indian part of the parikrama. It's difficult to be aloof from many of the Indian aspects, but the holy places, it is not a limited factor. And in fact, I did Gaurapanima Parikrama, was it last year? I lose a little track of the time. In Malaysia with the devotees, and we did a very sweet parikrama. Because we followed the parakrama with the books, we went step by step, we went all around, and really I was surprised how sweet it was to follow the Nabadeep Dham parakrama with devotees in the temple, that time in mainly in Sitiawan in Malaysia, I was at that time. Actually started the parakrama in Kuala Lumpur, ended the parakrama in Sitiawan, because it ended with of course, Gaurapanima, the day before Gaurapanima is the last day of parakrama, And then in Navadvip on Gaurapunima day, you do not go out. Otherwise, you get forcefully covered in color by the energetic youth of the town. So devotees sometimes say, oh, it's Gaurapunima, I get my new cloth, and all very smart. And then, oh, I need something, I need to go shopping in town. Aha, not a good idea. Because it's holy, H-O-L-I, holy, the day when they throw color around all over the place. All right, lots of talking today. But I think our, now is already gone 8:45. So I think our hour is up. But I'm happy to be with you all today. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for putting me on the floor, taking the chair away. But still you kept me away from being in the middle or amongst the devotees. But we're happy to be here. And you see, we went for Kartik Parikrama this year. And that Kartik Parikrama, from the time of Guru Maharaj, it is organized from our mat that devotees will go to Govardhan and Vrindavan for Kartik Parikrama. So this we did. Happily. With many devotees from many countries. International Parikrama. Sri Chaitanya Sarasatma. All right. Jai Srila Bhakti Sandha Govinda, Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar, Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. You see, he's happy to hear about Parikrama or Govardhan Hill. We're talking about your place. Yes, my goodness. And we are so happy to always have Giriraj. There are so many places around the world we go. Giriraj is here. Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari, Hari Gaur. So then you all please sing Hari Haraya Nama Krishna.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hare Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohana. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Thank you.
Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Jai Shri Giriraj Govarandju Ki Jai Jai Saprika Shishi Guru Gauranga Gandhava Govinda Sundarju in Nabadeep Ki Jai Jai Saprika Shishi Guru Gauranga Gandhava Rasa Viharaju in Vrindavan Ki Jai Jai Shri Anu Giriraju in Vrindavan Ki Jai Jai Wonderful Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Glorious Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Lion Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. Glorious Sri Rupa Nuga Guru Vaga ki jai. Jai Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Acharya Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Jai Sri Chang Chinmoy Changmai Ashram ki jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Netai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Maharaj ki
jai.